Okay, we're continuing in the Sefer Bovavi on page Reish Chav Tes, right at the top. And in the English, we're still in the beginning of chapter 22. We're discussing the topic of Ava She'ena Tluya B'Dover, a love that does not depend on anything. And we've already explained that this is a level that we're not going to really be on in this lifetime in a very significant way, although perhaps in a little way. But it's an important thing to know anyway, because it's part of Hashem's Torah, and it's something we will be on one day, and we need to know what direction we're heading at. And basically, Tzaddik up to this point has said that any love in this world, this worldly love, is by and large dependent on something, because it's dependent on whatever physical reality that exists. When that physical reality stops, so too that love, by definition, will stop. The difference between that and love that does not depend on anything is that it depends on the concept that love that doesn't depend on anything is a soulful concept that is essentially a oneness with us, Hashem, and the Torah. And that is something that we are inseparable from. And there is an inherent love from what one is inseparable from. And that's what he's going to continue discussing this for a number of more pages. There is a unity that just happens, that comes out of just events. Boy meets girl, happens to like girl, wants to be with girl, marries girl, stays with girl, and they could happen to be with one. But then when boy dies, or girl dies, or girl is not as attractive as she once was, or whatever, then the oneness stops. Right? Now that's what he's continuing on. Top of Reish Chav Tes. Ava Tluya B'Dover, a love that depends on something, Kiven Shechibur Notza Adei Giluyim Shel Ava, since the attachment is formulated through revelations of love, Harei Chibur Zehu Minakuda Misyaledes, this point of connection, this connection comes from a point of growth, a point of birth where it came into being. There was a point where there was no love, and now there's a point where there is love. Something that wasn't before and is now can be nullified and will be nullified. Anything that's finite, anything that's been created, is finite. Lumazos, on the other hand, a love that does not depend on anything. Himitzius mushreshes bebriya. It's a reality that is rooted in creation. It's not something that comes and goes. It's a reality of creation, no different than gravity is a reality of creation. There's never going to be a time in this world that there's not going to be no gravity. It's something that's a fundamental physical rule of creation. We have spiritual rules, and one of them is a love that doesn't depend on anything, because it is, by definition, the connection between us and Hashem. Ramban explains in Parshas Lech Lecho, and this is much more developed by the Maral. He asks the question, why are there no details surrounding Avraham Avinu's development as a human being before Hashem speaks to him? What's that? You just learned it? Okay, so get some Chazara. Get some Chazara. So the point it doesn't say, even though there's Midrashim that said he was in the fiery furnace, there's Midrashim that said he fought against Nimrod. But none of that is brought to bear. In Parshas Lech Lecha, he's 75 years old, Hashem says, go. And all those important historical details of Avram's life are missing. So why is that so? As if he almost wasn't alive beforehand. But the answer is, by leaving it out, then the reasons why Hashem chose Avram Avinu is because it's the reason why Hashem chose Bnei Yisrael, which wasn't for specific reasons. In other words, the relationship that he has with us is not dependent on anything. If Avram Avinu, the Torah writes, he fought against Nimrod, and he brought ethical monotheism into the world, and he went through this test, and he went through that test, and then it says Hashem came to him. So you think, the love for Hashem depends on what he does. And since he did all these things, Hashem comes to him and he loves him. which would imply that should Avram stop doing that, should his children stop doing that, Hashem's love for us would stop. But that's not so. Because Hashem inherently created, in the beginning of time, before time began, a concept of Klal Yisrael, a concept of the father of Klal Yisrael. And that is already a part of God that's inseparable. And once Avram Avinu fit into that mold, he became part of that inseparable relationship. And that's what every Jew needs to know when he reads about the first Jew. Every Jew needs to know that Hashem's love for Avram was not because of what Avram did. Every Jew needs to know that Hashem's love for every Jew is the same as it was and is for Avram. And that's the Nevius of Malachi, the last Nevius that existed, where Hashem, when he discusses the Jewish people, he doesn't have that much great things to say, but he says, the bottom line is, I love my children, I love Bnei Yisrael, and I hate Esav. And that's it. And my love for the Jewish people, and I can't give you any reasons. Even though we made a lot of averus, and we killed a lot of prophets, like Yeshaya and Zechariah, which is terrible things. But at the end of the day, I'm one with them. And that's it. That's all it depends on. It depends on nothing. That is how it started, and that's how it'll always be. That's what he continues. Could Shabrichu Varais of Yisrael Charu, that statement that Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people are one. Hakavona Echad Be'etzem, it's an essential one. Einzu Nekuda Mikris, it's not a circumstantial oneness. It's not one that's Misyaledes, it's not one that was spawned. It's like you knew during the Democratic primaries that as much as each candidate was insulting the other one, and Mom is saying how that person is not fit to lead, it'll be the biggest churban for the world. But as soon as one would win over the other, they'd have to make peace. You know what's going to happen to begin with, right? And so you want to tell me now that Clinton's going to be his Secretary of State? You think there's a oneness? That's an essential oneness that exists? You know, even if they met in a, I forgot the name of the city. Well, no, that was called oneness, unity or whatever they met. I forget what it was called, Unity Penn, whatever, Massachusetts place. But you knew from the beginning, that's not a real oneness. It's a oneness. So we had to beat McCain. It was a oneness. That's all, but it's not an essential oneness. Zoyak Dorish shall mitzias tvisas navshem shall yisrael shem kushurim be'etzim abaris baruch toroso. This oneness of avashen tlui b'davar, it's defined by a reality of the soul of the Jewish people being tied essentially with God and His Torah. And therefore, as the Nevi'im Chaim says, ein kim la'olam imein yehudim ba'olam, there'll be no existence in the world if there are no Jews in the world. Ein kim la'olam imein Torah ba'olam, there's no maintenance for the world if there's no Torah in the world. That's how essential that oneness is. So now, calls man shadam lohi giel legilui be'etzem shenishma sohi, as long as the person has not brought out and revealed to himself the essential nature of the soul, that it is one with Hashem and that it is one with Torah, just as the word Yisrael suggests, the word Yisrael, each letter stands for Yud, Shin, Resh, Aleph, Lamed, Yesh, Shishim, Ribui, Oisyes, LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters to the Torah. That's our name, it shows that connection to Torah. So as long as a Jew doesn't reach that spot, you have to say, Sha'ava Shumaka, the love that he does recognize with Hashem, it's a love that depends on something. It's possible that at specific moments a person may get a specific flash of love that is not dependent on anything. But first of all, this flash is only for a few moments. And second of all, it's only a flash. It's not the essential love. This essential type of love can only be applicable to a person who is attached to God essentially. Lo mikrech mashal uvad doesn't just come from thought. It's just like a person is connected to himself, in and of himself. I don't need to think about how I'm one with myself. I am myself. That's how you have to feel connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the exact same way. So it's a question of revealing the neshama. It's a real, real soulful connection, which is this love. Feeling inseparable from Hashem, just like you feel inseparable from yourself. And even though there may not be emotional feelings, okay, you don't have to have emotional feelings to have this love. You know, love of one's self does not depend on how smart you are, how successful you are. You know, even if people say they hate themselves, they don't really mean it, because they still want to have pleasures. I hate myself, but I'm going to a restaurant now. Why are you going to a restaurant? Starve if you hate yourself. Right? Well, I said most people, even if they hate themselves, they don't kill themselves. See, when they say they hate themselves, they don't mean it. They don't mean it. So, because you're one with yourself. How could you hate yourself? You are yourself. And that is really the truest definition of love. The truest definition of love is, the gematria of love is, ahava is 13. The gematria of echad is 13. Being at one with something else where you're really not something else, you see. That is real love. That is real love. It will, many things can come out of that. But that is the essential definition of love, which Tzaddik hasn't specifically said, but that's what he's telling you. He's saying it's achdus with Hashem. That is the love. So he's going to explain how we can, even Avashayna Tluy Bedavar can borrow on that definition, but not be exactly. And the next section is where you see the clear differentiation that he makes with these. So let's go to the next one, and then I think it'll clarify things a bit for us. Beis Madregos Bedvekos. There's two levels of Dvekos. There's two levels of cleaving. The pasuk says, Al kein yazov ish es aviv es imo v'dovak b'ishto. Therefore, a man will leave his father and his mother and cling to his wife. Okay, this is the first time that the Torah uses the word dovak, cling. So what does it mean in the context of marriage? So he says, b'musag v'dovak b'ishto, the concept of v'dovak b'ishto, he will cling to his wife. Yeshen shnei madregos, there's two levels. L'chaira, it would appear on the one level that ish v'isha heim shnei nifradim. A man and woman, they start out as two separate beings. M'mela hadvekas b'neim. Therefore, the cleaving between them. Chazaka kol shetia, as strong as it is, he ischabru shel shnei nifradim. It's a connection of two separate beings. And that's one type of connection. It is a connection. Don't say they're not connected. They are now connected and very connected. But they were two separate beings that now, through various causes, are now connected. Okay, so we're in a state where they weren't connected. Let's say where they are now connected. And if they are really connected, they can feel that they are at one with each other and love each other as long as that connection is there. And it's always going to depend on something. It's going to depend on each one still liking the other one, each one having reasons to like the other one. And most important, it depends on them both being alive. Right? So although you have love, they feel like they are one. Very nice. That's love. But it's always dependent on something. But if you go deeper, but if you look at the beginning, the way the initial creation was of the human being, there was only one human being. And then there was the great nesira, the great slicing of the human being into two parts, no matter how you learn the pshat, if it came out of his rib, or if they were back to back, and then they were split, whatever, however you want to learn. If they started as essentially human being, was the human being, male and female, was one from its inception, was separated, and then came back to being one. Nimtza shadvekas He chazor pshuto la'achter shekarnu la'nefrodus. Because it comes out on that level, the cleaving that exists is this a simple return to the unity that preceded the separation. Chazora l'sheresh ha'achter shel yetzira. It's a return to the root of unity of the way it originally was. So if you look at it on that level, so instead of creating an artificial connection between two people who are essentially independent from each other, like the first level, but dveikus, cleaving on this level, means to reveal that which was to begin with, which originally was a state of dveikus. Inherently, they were created to be that way. Okay, that's the difference. So now when you look at marriages, as we're going to see in a minute, there's two levels to understand marriage at. Right? However, what's critical, parenthetically, in order to have the dveikus at the end of the pasuk, there has to be the fulfillment of al kein yazov ish esov aviv v'imo. The guy and the wife, for that matter, have to leave their parents. In other words, for there to be the real unity, you have to give up other things that you might be clinging to, which are your parents. Doesn't mean you don't talk to them at all. Yazo means you don't live in their house anymore. You don't, they don't take care of you anymore. Right? So if that's the parallel, so when we're talking about Dveikus Hashem, right? So it's gonna have to mean the same thing. Right? You're gonna have to rise up beyond the limitations of the physical realities. Whatever your physical parents are beyond the real parents. And like Lech Lecha, like by Avram, you have to leave it. And you can't have Dveikus with all the pleasures of this world and have Dveikus with Hashem. You gotta leave the creature comforts of your life. The things that the simplest shot is, every child puts their total emunah and bitachon in their parents. Right? Your parents are going to save you from everything, going to take care of everything, going to make everything right for you. So, eventually you replace the parents with other parents. Your job, your brains, your strength, still your parents. It's a different type of parents. You've got to leave your parents, and then you can cleave to your mate, cleave to Hashem. It's like that, whatever happens with a husband and wife, it's a parallel to Hashem. But there's two different ways of looking at this. Now let's continue with this idea. Page Reish Lamed. Omnam. Truly, kisha'orim dovak v'ishto. When a person is clinging to his wife, ein behecha shadvekas tia barama hakvo yoser dvekas shel shoresh yitzira. When the person in his cognitive place, it's no guarantee that the connection, that the cleaving will be on this highest level, going back to the root of creation. It's not always something you're going to be aware of, may not even be. Yitachon shiyah davak v'isho, maybe he's clinging to his wife now. Aval kivan shebegilgul hazeh ubaod kama gilgulim hemigiyu nifradim. Could be in this Gilgul and other Gilgul and other transmigrated souls there was separation. Hemisachtim b'roma shal achtos hanifradim. So they get together with a unity of separated beings who are together. Okay, it's not clear in what he's saying over here. But it could be even essentially there wasn't a oneness. And even if potentially there is, or it is on a certain level, but it's a level they may not be operating on. Right? So this gets to areas I don't want to get into. It's going to get people all upset and nervous, so I don't want to get into it. But we're not going to be aware of that soulful relationship in this world. It's very rare because it's not possible because we're not even going to be aware of that connection to Hashem. If you don't have that connection to Hashem, you can't have it with other people. You got hope. You do a good job here. Hashem will give it to you in the next world. Hashem will give it to you with your spouse in the next world. But in this world, the best you can hope for with your spouse on a regular basis is avash tlui b'dover. That's the best you could hope for. And if you have that, Baruch Hashem. Maybe you get flashes of avashin tlui b'dover. But if you really think about any love that you have, really, it's because of your best interest. At the end of the day, even when you sacrifice, it's for your best interest. You give your life away, it's still for your best interest. Still depends on the fact that they're there. Depends on a lot of factors. So that's what he's saying. That's what happens in marriage as well. That's the same when we're dealing with the cleaving to Hashem. A person, until he gets to the level of it's all one, right? The person's original being was totally at one with Hashem, as our rabbis say. Because that's recognizing the reality. So as long as you don't get there yet, it could be you cleave to Hashem because you're thinking and you understand that Hashem is the root of your existence and it's up here. But his grasp of the matter is that him and Hashem are two separate beings that are now connecting. I'm trying to connect Hashem. When I daven, I feel far, and I'm trying to get closer when I'm davening. And maybe there'll be moments where I feel close to Hashem. And that's dveikus, but that's a dveikus that's totally bedover, that depends on something. Depending on a love, that depends on something. Kasher yiska lahamik penima yos benash, if you merit to go deeper into your neshama. Right. Yigales achad shalom yabari, it will reveal the unity that you have with the Creator. Vizel advekus amitis, and this is true Dveikus, the ultimate true Dveikus. This kind of Dveikus that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had. And when we sing the songs on Lag BaOmer, you know, it talks about how Rabbi Shimon was able to look deeper and attach his soul to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And that's why, you know, which the Tzaddik will mention in a few pages, that's why someone who's on that level, who is really inherently connected to the Chad of Hashem, he will love all Jews, because if it's Yisrael, Varais, of Kudshu Brichu, it's the whole Jewish people are one, not just you. So you never look at another Jew as a separate entity. Everyone is Chad. This whole idea of Jewish unity, it's such a farce. It's such a farce. The kind of unity we're hoping, and the hope, and the kind of unity maybe we could expect. There's two different unities. We're mamish one. No, if you don't feel you're one with Hashem, you're not going to feel you're one with the rest of it. You're not going to feel inherently one with other Jews. At best, we could hope it's a tzanafa tluya bedover. I'll get along with other Jews because it's to my benefit. And it is. If we would get together, if the Jews in the Knesset would get together, it would be for their benefit. Even if they hate each other's guts, at least it would be for their benefit if they get together. Right? So, you know, so when Rav Shimon Bar Yochai saw Yid, because since he was on the level of oneness with Hashem, real oneness, so whenever he looked at a Jew, it was him as well. Right? Everything he saw, you know, whatever he looked at, you know, whenever he looked at Torah, whenever he looked at another Jew, whenever he looked at Hashem, he saw that he was looking at it in himself. You know, it's not like, you know, when you're in the mood to do the Ratzon Hashem, then you feel close to Hashem. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai did not feel a separate metzius between himself. He didn't look at it as me, and as Hashem, and there's Torah, and there's other Jews, there's a lot of players over here. It's only one player. It's that one conglomerate of Hashem, Torah, the Jewish people, me. It's all one block. Once you feel separate, you see, once you feel any kind of separateness, then of course you can go against the Ratzon Hashem, and you can go against the Ratzon of your wife. Right? If you think you're separate, you know, you think you're a good guy when you do your wife a favor. Right? When really, if it's really one, right, you're really doing it for yourself. It's just one entity. So that's the difficulty for us, you know, that's why we can't really reach this till we're gonna really get in touch with our soul in the deepest way. So only when that happens, when we get deeper, kasher yiske, as he says, kasher yiske, lahamik pnima yosef benavsho, when a person merits to get deeper into his soul, yigalas achashol, so you know, so it's vikas emitis, then you get to that real oneness. Zoi be'etzam akdora kalor shal ava shen tuli b'dover. This is really the definition of love that doesn't depend on anything else. It means that you're there and you feel it. And you don't think about it. It's not something you have to think about. It's there. You don't think about how your hand is part of your body. It's a reality. Ava shein et tluya bedover, higilui etzem nasha shalodim. A love that doesn't depend on anything is a revelation of the essence of the soul of the person before there was any separation between you and HaKadosh Baruch. Right? It's like a lot of times the Mezritcher Magid, whenever he would make certain statements, he would say certain things and people would think he's giving his opinion. So he would always say, it's not something I'm telling you as an opinion. I'm telling you because I was there. He was the opinion. It was him. He got it from the Kisei HaKavod. It was something he came up with. He says, that's the emes. Or the famous story with Reb Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, right? He was not a chassid originally. His father-in-law was an anti-chassid. Right? He went to Mezritch and then came back. He went to Mezritch for a long, he was married already, and he went to Mezritch for a long time. Right? Which was not exactly his father-in-law's wish. Right? So he comes back from Mezritch after a long time. So the father says, I don't understand. What did you accomplish over there? So he said, I learned that there is a God. So the father is looking at him like crazy. What do you mean, look, there's a God? He calls over one of the Jewish servants, one of the women, simple women servants. Because Rachel, come here. So Rachel, do you believe in God? I sure do. Who created the world? Hashem created the world. Thank you so much, Rachel. So he turns to the Reb Levi Yitzchak. He said, no, you had to spend months at the Mezritcher Magid, to which my Rachel knows. So what did the Mezritcher Magid answer? When he answered, she says there's a God, but I know it. That was the difference. He knows it. He became one with it. He mamish became one with it. That's what you had to go to Mezritch for. That's a level. Some yechidei skula, some unique individuals can reach that. But by and large, that's not something we can expect in our lifetime. Again, so why are we learning it? Because you have to know that it exists. It will become part of what you are. This is what you're supposed to be looking forward to. If you're not looking forward to it, then we're going to have major problems. Right? And this is when we had Nevius, people had it. When you were a Navi, you felt this way. When you had a state of Nevius, you mamish felt this way. And there were tzaddikim who lived this way. The Chafetz Chaim lived this way. There are people who really could live this way. And they could live mamish, feeling they're one with Hashem, and there's never not being one with Hashem. And it's a much deeper feeling. Yes, sir.
So, I'm trying to understand, is Ava She'en Et Tluya B'Davar equally obtainable with a human being and with God? Which one of the two is easier? You can have Ava She'en Et Tluya B'Davar between you and a friend, and you are God, or both, or they're all one and the same?
Ava She'en Tluya B'Davar is all in the same. There's no such thing as, when David and Yonasan loved each other, and Ava She'en Tluya B'Davar, it only was a result of the Ava She'en Tluya B'Davar they had with Hashem. You cannot have one without the other. It's impossible.
So it's only when you reach Ava She'en Tluya B'Davar with Hashem that there's a possibility that you can have it with a human being.
It will not only possibly, it will automatically be. Because Yisrael, Varaisa, V'Kutchabrichu, Chad, Hu. Once you're in that zone, And there's nothing more to do. And that zone is mamish being in contact with your neshama. When you're totally revealing, the neshama is totally out, and that's the only reality that you understand, then with that comes the whole package. Comes Hashem, comes the Jewish people, comes the Torah, comes everything.
So when a person reaches Ava She'en Et Tluya B'Davar with Hashem, they
automatically
that by all of mankind, or they may just have yes. God, and that's it.
No. Cannot be only this feeling with Hashem. What? I'm saying B'nai Yisrael. I'm not talking about Goyim. But you said all mankind.
I meant Jewish people.
It's not possible, and that's why you have a lot of. I don't know how to say this, phony gedolim, who are very good when it comes to with Hashem, but not so very good when it comes to Jews. We have that. And that's usually the sign that they're not such big gedolim. It's usually the sign they're not such big gedolim. And there's all kinds of stories. you know, that it just doesn't go. It's a number of stories, you know, with in MTJ, in the Sifter Tiferes Yerushalayim. So they tell us there's a story that there were Bachrim, this guy borrowed a tape recorder, and while he borrowed it, it was an accident and it broke. So then the guy says, "Oh, I broke your tape recorder." So they're having a discussion if the guy has to pay him back or not. Big argument. Do I have to pay or not? He says, "You borrowed it from me. You have to give it back." But it was an accident. It's going back and forth. They couldn't resolve the issue. So they went to the Rosh Yeshiva of Reuven Feinstein. So we'll have to ask the Rosh Yeshiva, Shiloh. So go to Reb Reuven. Reuven says, "It appears to me it's fairly simple. You guys are learning Baba Metzia now for the whole year. Baba Metzia, you know the halacha of the shomrim, the guardians, and one of them is a shoyel. A shoyel is a guy who borrows for free. The halacha is very straightforward. A shoyel who borrows for free is chayiv and oinsim, has to pay for an accident. So you got to pay him back." Oh, they're happy. So then Reb Reuven, you know, he had such a chalishas hadas. He felt so disheartened after those boys came to him. Why? They're learning a whole year Baba Metzia. Gotta remember, when guys are in yeshiva, like, this is the only thing they're learning the whole year long. Baba Metzia. Right? And the fact that there are four shomrim, shomer chinam, shomer sachar, shoyel, soicher, it's like bread and butter. It's like the most common information. And they're learning it all year long. A shoyel pays for oinsim all year long, all the intricacies of that halacha. And then comes the reality where the kid is a shoyel and he doesn't even know the halacha. He felt like he's a total failure. What kind of reshiva is he? You understand? It's like, you know, it's like lahavdil. You know what it's like? It's like somebody studies for the Yufi, passes his Yufi, and doesn't even dawn on him that he has to pay taxes. It's like, why didn't I have to file my taxes? Do you have to file taxes? I was like, what are you talking about? You're an accountant. Right? So that's it bothered him so much he went to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was still alive at the time. So Rav Moshe said, he said, they're learning this sugya, but they're not living with the sugya. It's just a subject that they're learning. It's a subject in life. It's not who they are. This is the American Bacher, you know. It's like, it's a subject. You know, there's lots of stories. There's a chashava from a rabbi psychologist who writes, in certain places. So he wrote this story, and then lately he's been writing some more stories, and he wrote how in a yeshiva high school, and this could definitely be happening in Toronto too, this happens to be in New York, a yeshiva boys high school, okay, one of these, you know, real yeshivisha, chassidisha places, you know, like really. So they hired a black math teacher. So, and it was a normal black math teacher, you know, knows his stuff. The kids were so terrible to the teacher. Like, mom is so mechutzafim, calling him names and the whole thing. Like, just totally, totally terrible. So, and to the point where the doctor was drawn to tears, the teacher was drawn to tears. Anyway, so one of the kids, Epis, you know, didn't like what he saw, so he goes home, he tells his parents what went on. So the parents were very upset. So they told this rabbi doctor, you know, who's an educator, you know, one of these, you know, these great educators never are in any schools, you know, it's also, they're not principal themselves, but they're good at it. But anyway, so they told him about it. So it bothered this person, this educator. So he went and spoke to the principal of the yeshiva. Okay, you with me so far? I don't want to say names. Right? Went to the Manal and asked him, like, what was going on? Is this true? He says, yeah. So he asked them now, so did you speak to the boys about it? Afterwards, like you tell them, you know, he says, yeah, we spoke to them about it. So then he asked them, did you speak to them, like to give them mussar, the same way you'd speak to a kid if he'd come into yeshiva without a black hat? Like if chas v'shalom, a kid comes to yeshiva without his black hat, they suspend him. It's not a simple thing if you don't come with your black hat. Or if you come in wearing jeans, the way you talk to them when they come in wearing jeans, yeah? Did you talk to them the same way, how bad it was, the way they treated the black teacher? So he says, he writes an article. So he said, the principal said yes, but to me it was unconvincing. The yes was unconvincing. Was he going to say no? So then the principal said the following, and this is the line. He says, you know, really, I think it was a big mistake that we hired the black teacher. It was our fault. He says, what do you mean? Was he not qualified? No, he's a very qualified teacher. But we daven every morning, Al tivenu lo lidei nisayon, Hashem, don't bring me into a test. And the truth is, bringing in a black teacher for the boys here was a test that they could not handle. They couldn't handle it, and we shouldn't have hired the black teacher to begin with. Right? So this educator, he writes, he says, like, look, if the principal has to come to that, it shows you what kind of disconnect is going on in the yeshiva between what they learn and what they do. I mean, you're learning stories in Chumash about Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. You're learning about how even Yaakov treats Esav. In last week's parsha, Esav's the worst goy you could be, still treats him with respect. How the others always treated everybody with a certain degree of respect, right? And it's their learning has nothing to do with their lives. It's nothing to do with their lives. It's like one has nothing to do with the other. You know, it's like crazy, right? So as much as you're teaching them to love learning, and to love Hashem, but not to love other people. I mean, you know, even if he's not a Jew, but you don't go and insult a goy and make a chilul Hashem like that, but. Or the last story, he brings another story. It's like, it's very symptomatic. Just hold on. You know, when Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was alive. So it was a Shabbos. So he's walking, right? This is like, Ezra's Torah section. Like, this is as frum as it's going to get, you know, when he comes to Yerushalayim. It doesn't get better than this, right? So he sees there's a father with his son who's a chassan during Sheva Brachas. So he's walking by and he sees the father outside is schlepping benches while the son is fixing up his tie and that's nothing to do with the benches. Well, the father's schlepping the benches. So Rav Shlomo Zalman goes over to the chassan and says, why is your father schlepping the benches and you're not helping him with the benches? So the chassan says, ich halt nicht von der Eruv. I don't hold to the Eruv. You know, there's about 20 Eruvs in Shari Chesed. Not Ezra's Torah, Shari Chesed, I mean, it was in Shari Chesed. Right? It's like 20 Eruvs over there. Right? So when Shlomo Zalman heard that, when he came back to the yeshiva, he couldn't calm down. He could not calm down. He could not believe what he saw. It bothered him to no end. That this is where Yiddishkeit's at. I guess he didn't feel to rebuke the guy. He doesn't really know who they are. It's not their student. You know, you have to know who to rebuke and when, right? So, okay, that's Rav Shlomo Zalman. But like, that's the problem. So really what's going on over here? So the love, and you can imagine this chassan, he learns Torah, he loves Torah, he loves Hashem. But there's a total disconnect. It just happens by chance. He happens to be learning Torah. That's it. It's an tzavash etluy b'davar. It's not possible to say that you love Hashem and that you're not, so you don't hold to the Erev. You're still your father. You pick up. There's enough shittas that hold to the Erev. Your father holds it Erev. A lot of people hold to the Erev. And there's 20 Erevs. You can find one you can hold of. Your father schlepping a bench? You know, like, at least tell your father not to schlep it. I'd rather have it, whatever it is. It's millions of stories like this. Millions of stories like this where, you know, they're into the learning. Learning's important. Learning's the most important thing, right? But but you don't love other Jews, or even common decency to a black man. You don't have to love a black man, but at least you don't have to go out of your way to insult him and make, you know, Schwarzer jokes and things like that right in front of his face. Right? But they don't think anything about it. And that's the way it is in a lot of the Jewish schools. It's unfortunate. So that's what I'm saying, Yossi. I'll get one, ain't it, believe it, and then I'll get the rest. It's all or nothing in that area. It can't be different than that. It's all or nothing. She'enet l'yibidover is a different story. She'enet l'yibidover. Depends what you want to work on. Depends which one you're going to benefit from. L'yibidover. The one that depends on something. That depends on what you're working on. That totally depends on what you're working on. Right? Okay, you had a question? Yeah, what? Not necessarily. You can have a person who's a true Avos Yisrael who isn't that really close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could be just it's Tluy B'Dover. Bleeding heart liberal. You have people who love people but don't love God. Right? You have people who compromise on Halacha so that they can show their love to other human beings. That's also a problem. Right? You have, you know, people kissing people of the other sex or hugging them, which is totally prohibited, but it's to be makar of them. So there's a problem. There's a problem with that Avos Hashem. It's a problem. It can't be. You can't have one without the other. We love people so much, we will compromise on the halacha where you can't compromise on the halacha. Then there's a problem. There's a disconnect the other way. It can be a disconnect in any one of three ways. Right, you could be learning Torah amazingly and be disconnected from Hashem and the Jewish people. You could love the Jewish people, and loving the Jewish people and being disconnected from Torah and Hashem isn't going to get you much further. You know, what's the lesser of the three evils if you're only going to love one and not the other? It's better to love Jews. Maybe. I mean, it depends how much you're violating Torah. Right? You find that the door haflaga got it off better than the door hamabel. So it's always better, you know, if you're going to bedafka, only be good at one. I guess it's good to love Jews. But neither one is really acceptable. So you have to have, when it's tluy b'dover, you got to try to get all three as well.
So,
yeah.
So my question is,
yeah.
I would think this is holding on the level where they love God and mankind, where it's not dependent on anything. That it's not shaykh that everybody won't feel that love. I would think it's not possible. Yet we see...
Everyone will feel the love from him?
Everybody. If you're at the level...
You are. That's true. That's so.
And yet we see in Tanakh it's not true. In other words, if you look at Yaakov and Leah's relationship, she felt hated. If you look at Shaul and David's relationship... He felt problematic. We can go through 10 cases of, if that person lived on that level, it's not shock that everybody.
Listen, other people can. Hold on.
So you're going to say that's their chisaron?
Yeah, that was their chisaron.
Yeah,
well, listen, the navi Zechariah. He didn't love the Jewish people. They killed him because he was saying what they didn't want to hear. Listen, there's others who can hate God. If a Russia hates God, he's going to hate someone who's connected to God also.
Right.
Even though he loves you. Even though he loves you. But I hate you, and I'll kill you.
So then isn't there something by definition slightly lacking in that love?
No.
How could you not?
Because the other person is very bad. I can be connected to him. I could love other people. But there's another guy who's so far away, he hates everything that has to do with that. And he'll kill the person. That's the other person's problem. It's not his problem. Yaakov was on that level. Right. So she had a problem. She wasn't on that level yet. She was a little bit more human. Whatever. I don't want to get into the office. The office is already, past the office I can talk better. But before the office, it's not 100%. You know, they were developing this concept still. They were developing these ideas of Dveikus with Hashem. There could be things that had to still be fixed up. As great as they were working on these things. And so I wouldn't bring any proofs from Yaakov. But David HaMelech, He loved everybody. He loved everybody. It's not Shaykh, he loved everybody. And people hated him. Because it was their faults.
Including his children.
Including Avshalom. Okay, he made a mistake. He was dovek by Shem, but he made a mistake. He didn't hit Avshalom enough. Medrash says he didn't discipline him enough. That's a mistake. That's not a problem of dveikus. It's an error in judgment. You could be dovek to Hashem. You have to understand, when David HaMelech sinned, a bigger question you should ask Yossi. If he's dovek to Hashem, how can you sin? You can't sin if you're dovek to Hashem. What's the answer? The tzaddikim sins were what we call errors in judgment, not errors in taiva. No, you have to make a decision using your brain, and it was the wrong decision. I love you, Hashem, and I think this is the best way to do what you want, but I made a mistake. That's a sin in judgment versus a sin in taiva. I just want to be bad.